Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Poochina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Whew. This month is very special to me. Now, you know, last month we did the month of love, and this month is actually very special. I had someone, a classmate, as a matter of fact, of mine, who came to me and asked me the question, I always hear you talk about women on the show, but as men, we go through things too. And that resonated in me. And I said, you know what, you're absolutely right, because men are birthed through who? Women. And yes, we, you know, as women go through things, men go through things as well, but it starts off as a child. No doubt about that. This month is March Men Mayhem. It is dedicated to the men only for this month. And I have some lineup that's coming on for this month. And I don't start to show off without prayer, so let me just go straight into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. Hallelujah is the highest praise that we can give you right now. I thank you for love. I thank you for grace. I thank you for mercy, Lord. I thank you for allowing me to be the vessel that you are using to touch many people in the United States and outside of the United States, Germany, France, Ukraine, South Korea. I thank you and all others that I have not mentioned. I just thank you for allowing me to be me, taking me from where I was and where I am now and where you're about to take me. I thank you for the challenges that come along the way. I'm grateful because it creates resilience. And I thank you for allowing me to be that way and continue to be that way. I ask you to forgive me and others who are listening tonight for anything that needs to be forgiven, Lord. And I thank you that you give us a new start and a clean slate. And as I move forward, Lord, I decrease Poochina and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in. I thank you as I bring on the speaker tonight that you bless him and his wife and his family, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So thank you for tuning in tonight. I really appreciate it. As I mentioned, this month is going to be a very special month because it's dedicated to nothing but the men. It is, you know, this is known as March Madness for basketball, but this is also March Men Mayhem. Because you know what, ladies? We go through stuff. Yes, we do. But our men, our brothers, go through stuff as well. And this month, we're going to highlight our men this month. And as I move forward, as moving into the new phase of our Chronicles, we're going to be highlighting a lot of men as well. We're going to mix it because as survivor, I have children and I have boys, and they have a story from a mother who's a survivor. So I say all that to say this, we're going to go ahead and get this started. And as you all noticed that we started with this particular person came into my life from his wife. Me and his wife was on another platform together. And we got the opportunity of getting close. And they say kindred spirits come together. And we did. And she was on the show it was in January, if I'm not mistaken. And as a matter of fact, she was the second show for the year 2022. The first show was the Other Woman Syndrome, and then the second show was a result of someone who had to deal with a wife who had to deal with the other woman. And we got a chance to talk about it, pray together. We got a chance to do many things. But what got me towards the end of the show is that her spouse, her significant other, came on. And it was powerful that he did and things that he said. And one of the things we talked about is, you know, coming in as people. When you have one person who's broken, the other person is broken, they come together, and that causes, it causes a shift, especially if you haven't dealt with the situation that should have been dealt with. Sometimes you do it when you get together, sometimes you don't, but sometimes it creates an explosion and erosion of things. My guest tonight is a powerful, 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 awesome man of God. And I thank him. His name is Thomas Wade. And I thank him for coming on board to wanting to share with you all tonight. And we're going to chop it up and we're going to keep it real. And you all know that I love to keep things real because this still is our real people, real scenarios, and real situations. And we're going to keep it real. So I thank you for tuning in. And I will present to some and introduce to some and present to others, Mr. Thomas Wade. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for taking time out to spend with us to kind of chop it up here and kind of deal with some real issues because we all go through it. And, you know, I've noticed in life, you know, when I started advocating is that a lot of people are going through the same thing, but they're hush-hush about it because, one, they're either embarrassed or they feel like they're alone. And the fact that you're stepping out is just awesome to me. And I thank you so much. So I want to ask you three questions, and we're going to go from there. Your name, okay. What do you do, and why do you love doing what you do?
Well, first of all, my name is Mr. Thomas William Wade III. I am a co-business owner with my wife. We own Wade Logistics, which is a trucking company. I am the driver and the CEO of the company. I'm 39 years old, and I was born and raised in Kinston, North Carolina. I am a U.S. Army veteran, a father of four children, and I am the husband of Kiana Michelle Wade.
Beautiful. So thank you for stepping up. First of all, when I had Kiana on the show and we were talking, and I really appreciate the fact of you putting your nuggets of wisdom in that when we were talking about we did the show about the other woman syndrome and then dealing with someone who had to deal with the other woman. And so you were dropping some really good science on me and to the people of the audience. So I'm just going to ask the question, as you know, when we talk about, you know, the show tonight, you know, oftentimes women ask that question, why do men cheat? Is there truly a reason or is it a myth? So why?
So I would, first and foremost, I would like to dig right into the topic. The first thing I would say about why do men cheat, that is a very, very difficult question. And I took some time and I really, really had to dig into the subject matter because I was thinking, you know, I could come up with a lot of different reasons and I could, you know, write down some things. But I wanted to, you know, I am a Christian, but I'm also a human. And I wanted to bring this topic, you know, from a human standpoint as well as a Christian standpoint. So I wrote down a couple of answers to that question. Now, my answers might not fit into everybody's situations, but I wrote down about 10. I wrote down about 10 different topics or 10 different major reasons that I consider that most people or men cheat. And the topic of that would be the desire to bring fantasy into reality. The number one reason that I think that men cheat is that being sexually active with more than one partner isn't fulfilling their sexual desires. Most men like the idea of being more sexually active with more than one partner. If they're in a committed relationship, the men that do cheat, they desire being with more than one partner, more than the person that they have at home. Number two, the thrill of sneaking around and having sex and not getting caught. There's a thrill that comes along with, you know, being in the heat of the moment, thinking that no one is watching you, but God is always watching, even when other people aren't, and you think you're in a situation where no one can see you or anything like that. God is always watching. Number three, having multiple women desire you sexually is like a high that never comes down. There is a rush, an adrenaline rush, when you're involved in situations and you have people desiring you. It gives you an adrenaline rush. It gives you like a dopamine rush where you're on a natural high, and it's like it never comes down. That feeling doesn't go away. Number four, you're facing your mortality or getting older and wanting to see if, quote unquote, you still got it. That falls into the generation that I'm in right about now. I'm almost 40 years old, and a lot of men my age are still out here, especially ones in relationships, are still seeking to see if they can still, you know, if they still got it, trying to date or seek attention from other women, even though they're in relationships. Number five, and this one was a difficult one for me because, you know, I had to really, really figure out how to say this one. But number five is, it's a numbers game. And when I say that, I mean it just this simply. To some men, the amount of women that we sleep with is very important in a social, in inner social circles. Being able to say, well, oh, I had her, or, yeah, I'm messing around with her, or, yeah, you can have her, that's old to me. I mean, there are certain situations where you can be around the fellas, and it's the person who has the most women that they've dealt with in that manner is seen as the upper echelon of the men in the group. And that is why I said the numbers game. It's a numbers game. The more the number, the higher the number. There was a basketball player by the name of Wilt Chamberlain. He claimed to have slept with over 20,000 women. And he has went on multiple television shows and multiple radio broadcast and broadcast this all over the world like it's a great thing, but it's really not. Number six, sometimes women want married men, because they don't have to maintain a relationship and it's strictly sexual. Now, I'm not blaming women. I'm not going to female bash or anything like that, but there are women out here. You understand what I'm saying? There are women out here that, there are women out here that don't want relationships with men, so they seek out married men who they know they can't have a relationship with. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that makes it even harder to resist as a man, honestly, because you are in a situation where you know exactly what is about to happen or what is going to occur over the course of the period that you all are dealing with each other. And it's kind of like easy access, I'll say it in those terms. Number seven, 99% of all the thoughts that normally that we as men have when it comes to dealing with female are sexual thoughts. Whether you're at a job interview.
Repeat that again.
I'd say about 99% of all thoughts that men have, and that's just about any man, 99% of the thoughts that we have when we're dealing with a female are sexual thoughts. It's something that if you don't have God in your heart and in your mind. And even if you do, it's a desire. It's something you have to fight. It's something you have to overcome. Because when you see a female and she's attractive to you, you can be a married man or not, you're going to notice that this woman is attractive. And then your mind goes into a different area or different thoughts. And the 1% is about making money or how to make more money. But 99% of the situations when you're dealing with females, and I mean just even in general conversations, could be about sex. We think about sex a lot, whether it just be general conversation. It could be for a job interview. It could be dealing with a coworker. It could be dealing with someone in church. It's a real issue for a lot of men. Number 8, feeling sexually unwanted by your partner. When sex feels more like a chore between the two people, it's not a desire to have sex. It's more of a chore, a responsibility. That's something that's not really wanted. It makes you feel unwanted as a man when you are trying to be intimate with your spouse and the feelings just aren't there.
Uh-huh.
That can be a huge turnoff and cause a lot of risk in a household or in a marriage. Number 9, an intensely high sex drive. That is a problem for a lot of men, just in general. A lot of men have a very intense high sex drive. And that dives into things like watching porn, watching things on the internet dating, things of that nature, knowing that you're not supposed to be there because you're either in a committed relationship or you're married. These are things that, you know, we might dive into because we have a high sex drive. Now, it's wrong, but these are reasons why I'm hand cheek, so I'm listing them out.
Uh-huh.
And last,
we keep it real.
Exactly. And last but not least, my last reason that I came up with, and this one might strike some of the people a little off putting, but I'm just going to keep it real.
Keep it real.
Because women allow it. A lot of women, and I'm not female bashing. Just as general as I can.
No need.
Get in relationships and they get into marriages, and as long as bills are paid, the lights are on, there's food in the house, everything seems to be going well, and life is comfortable with no drama, a lot of things can be done on the back end that, you know, are overlooked. And women have to get to a point where they stand up for themselves and say, no, I will not allow that. And honestly, my wife took on that role. My wife
mm-hmm.
said, no, I will not stand for this. And it, when I went through the things that I was going through, I won't put all my business out of it, but when I went through the things that I was going through, it took me to a place in my life that I had never been, one of the darkest places that I had ever been. I lost everything that I had. And I didn't realize that I was not just hurting my wife, I was hurting my children. I had not been pursuing my own personal goals. I was hurting everyone, my family, her family, people that believed in me as a man. So I had to stand up and come to a realization that this is not right. So those are the 10 reasons that I came up with. There are plenty more, and I'm sure there's thousands of reasons, but those are the reasons that I came up with that a lot of men cheat.
I really appreciate that. I was writing them down as we were going through it because I want to dive into it, because you said some very real things, and I love that. And like I said, don't ever apologize for being real, because this is reality. We're all grown folks. And that's just the bottom line. And please know, as you know, for those who are tuned, just tuning in, my name is Patina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And I'm here with my special guest tonight, Mr. Thomas Wade, and our subject tonight is Why Men Cheat. And what I love is the 10 reasons he gave. Now, of course, this is from one person perspective, because as he mentioned, there are 1,000 reasons. So no one's saying that this is etched in stone, but we're just talking in general, because anyone else who want to chime in on this conversation, please do. Please say something in the chat. And I do see one of the someone who did. I'm going to go when I will acknowledge it when I get to it. So Thomas, I want to go ahead and see if we can dive into this. This probably may end up being a part two. But
okay.
You said I'm going to go through certain points, and it's not going to be in the same order. And you said that one of the things I saw, it's a numbers game. It's almost, would you say that's like bragging rights that they're looking for when they do it's the numbers game? Like when you mentioned, like, well, I've been with that, oh, that's old to me.
Well, honestly, yes, it is a
okay.
It is like a bragging rights thing. It's almost like a rite of passage. And most
right.
of us grow up in this mindset. We have uncles, we have a father, or maybe not at all. I personally grew up in a household where it was myself, my sisters, and my mother, but I had my uncles. And my brother, he was away. He was in the military when I was a little boy. But I grew up around men who were married or in relationships, and they, you know, they dove into sexual relationships with other women, and there was a lot of talk about it, you know, amongst the boys, amongst the fellas. So, you know, it was more, it can be a numbers game. It can be, you know, about who had her or who had this many, and you know, it's like a bragging thing. Yeah, that is one of the things that, you know, as a man you go through.
I like that. Now, you brought up something that I wanted to not go deep into it, but just talk a general sense. Before I go into that one, one that caught my attention is high sex drive. And what came to mind was Eric Bonet when he was married to Halle Berry. And but that's reality. I mean, that's really reality, especially when you have some people who are addicted to sex, and then they marry someone who's, you know, not on that level, they, for whatever reason. So that one really stuck out to me. And then they go into, as you said, the porn, and they go into the internet dating, because a lot of these internet dating is interesting. I'll just say that. It's very interesting because you don't know what you're going to get. And you're right. You know, some people get on there for that. You know, adultery is considered thought, word, and deed. And if you're on the porn, if you're on the you know, internet dating, it's just as, you know, as relevant as the other. One is not higher than the other. It's just done, because when that emotion is taken away, and it's easier. Let me ask you this question, because you mentioned something about because women allow it. And this is where you can relate. When you realize that, you know, that your wife allowed that, at what point did you get to the point where you was like, okay, I can't do this? Was it before you started losing everything, or was it, you know, when? At what point? Because
I know exactly what you're asking, and I will give you the exact
honest
answer. Because honestly, we have to, in order for, I know there's men listening to this, and there might be some men out here that need some help. So I'm gonna dig a little deeper into this, and I'm not gonna get too personal, but I'm gonna dig really deep into this. You know, I got to a point in my life where this happened, and I mean, I lost everything, including my own freedom. Okay, and it wasn't because I was out here doing things wrong or doing things bad. This was God punishing me for the things that I was doing to my wife. Had just bought a brand new car. I had expensive clothing, expensive jewelry. I had a lot of nice things, and I used those things to approach women and to, you know, make myself look like I was more than what I was. But once God's wrath came upon my life and his judgment came into my life, he took everything away slowly but surely. And he put me to a point where I lost everything. No one wanted to be around me. My own family was looking at me like, why would you do this? Or how could you do this? And I had lost all contact with my wife. My children were ashamed of me. When God brings you down, I mean, he knocked you all the way down, okay? Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where I had to look in the mirror, and I had to say to myself, the problem ain't all these excuses you keep making up. Well, she don't do this, and she don't do that, and this and this and that. That ain't the problem. The problem is you, the man in this mirror. Thomas, what are you going to do to change? Even if you can't, because at that point, I didn't know if I even had a marriage. So I had to look myself in the mirror, and I had to say, Thomas, even if you don't have a marriage, what are you going to do to change you? God, and I had to pray, and I had to ask God. God, what can I do to better me? And if it is your will for me to have this marriage still, because like I said, I did not know if my marriage was going to continue or not. If it's your will for this marriage to continue, God, I need you to help me because I don't have anybody, and it's just me and you, God. And he puts you at that point where you don't have no one but him. And that's where I was at. That's where I was at. I was at my lowest point that I had ever been in my life.
Wow. You know, I have a gentleman who's on the line as well, on the live. You can't see the comments. And he was saying, God puts us in places where we can only call on him. And that is very
absolutely
true. I don't, when you get to your lowest, because, you know, we're hard-headed. We're flesh. We're hard-headed. We're going to do what we want to do for as long as we want to do. But when God said it's enough, and when you call on him like you did, now he's like, okay, now you're ready to listen. Now you're ready to listen. And then he
comes in.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Because we are dwelling and dealing with this situation, God gave me a couple of things that he wanted me to say as far as how he helped me. And I don't know if this is going to help someone else, but how he helped me with my desiring and the things that I was doing. Because sometimes, you know, you can be in a situation as a man and not know how to pull yourself out. So I wrote down a couple of things that helped me to get out of that environment in my own mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, before you get into that, because I want you to say that, I want to connect on a couple other points you did, and then we're going to talk about how you get yourself out of it, if that's all right. So thank you. So you brought up something. You said it may hurt some feelings, but let me just go ahead and tell you a couple things. Yes, as women, we do have a tendency of allowing things because we got the bills paid, we got this paid, and I want to speak for women, and you know, it ain't for every woman, but I'm just saying, yeah, as women, we do condone that stuff, and I would have to say, especially back in the day, like I would say back when my grandmother was there, you know, you have people who've been married for like 50 or something years, it ain't always been, you know, happy feelings and all that. It's been some stuff. And when I talk to some of my elders, they talk about the infidelity. They talk about all of that. And still, they're still married. They still, whatever that common denominator, which is God, I would say, they are still there and they work it out. And then they're able to school us as the young Padawans on what you should and should not do. Because it's just not healthy at times. It's just not healthy. And it's not just men, as some that has that sex drive. You have women who have that as well, because you do have some women who just want to deal with married men. I can understand that because I was one of them. You know, it to me, and you're right, it was no commitment. I could just do what I want to do, get what I want to get. Was it right? No, but I'm just going to keep it real like I always do. No, it wasn't. But then after a while, God starts dealing with you like, hey, you can't be doing this. Because women, we can be temptress. And we're slick. We are real slick. Because we'll study you and we'll know, you know, start that conversation. And I told this to an old friend of mine. I said, women could be master manipulators. You know, we'll be at that point where, you know, we'll be like your friend. And, you know, we want to be there and hear you, and you know, we get you to the point where you get comfortable, and then now you start divulging stuff. And then it's this famous phrase we like to say, I don't know why she would do that. If it was me, I would do so and so and so and so. And that catches a man's attention right then and there because the seeds are already planted. So some people, if you're not strong enough to see past all that, I can see how, and your vulnerability, because just like men, women go for vulnerable men as well. We go for vulnerable men as well, especially if we got an agenda. So I'm just saying, I want to just say that, and when you brought up that piece right there, I said, yeah, we do. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm just like, Lord, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and thank you for the deliverance he has done for me, I'm just trying to tell you, on the other end of someone who used to deal with married men, I get it, because that's all I wanted, you know. And it's interesting because as women, we want unattainable men. And for some reason, we thrive on it. Like, we have to have it. And hoping, you know, I have some people who have that false reality that they're hoping they'll leave their wives. And I was like, well, why would you want him? I mean, if he does it to you, he's going to do it to somebody else, and vice versa, okay, and vice versa. So I just wanted to chime in on that just to let you know. You have, you know, women out there, you're right, they are predators. They're waiting, you know. And I was looking at the statistics of men and women when it comes to infidelity and cheating, and, of course, the statistics is higher for men, but women are catching up there now, though. Don't get that twisted. They're catching up there now. They're catching up there because when we put our sight on something, we're going to make it happen. And we slick. We slick and we're patient. We're very patient. And we're just waiting for that right time to strike. And women can wear a mask as well. We can wear a good mask to make it sound like we all, man, listen, Yeah. And then, but it was me, and I was like, you know, I told somebody, I had to break that down to somebody, listen, you can't play a player. I'm telling you, this is where this is coming from. But it is. And I'm just saying, my brother, I thank you for bringing out these points, because these are some very good and valid points. Because I don't want to make this seem like this is a bashing game between men and women. The truth of the matter is, we're all people. And yes, we are all children of God, but I don't know anybody in the Bible who don't come from a past. I don't know nobody in the Bible that comes from, that doesn't have a past. And that's why I tell people, Solomon, oh my God, Solomon and David, you know, come on, the root is there. I mean, it first started with Adam and Eve, you know, it started there, and then it trickled on down with the sin, and then David, and then Solomon, you know, it's out there, and it's really out there. And it's the reason we're bringing this up is because these are real-life topics. You're not the only one that's going through something or have gone through something. There are other people out there. That's why I'm appreciative of Mr. Thomas coming in here and keeping it real. So as we move forward, I see that the people are responding to it. And, you know, if there was something I wanted to say, it was something that someone said, and I actually wrote it down, when you talked about 99% of thoughts that men have are sexual thoughts. That's, you are designed like that, because that's your creatures of habit. Men are creatures of habit, really are creatures of habit. And his statement was, overcoming our flesh is is hard, and that's very true. Can you chime in on that, on that statement? Overcoming our flesh is hard as men.
Yes, I definitely can, because you know, like you said, you know, overcoming your flesh, your natural carnal mind, that is probably one of the most hardest things as a man that we will have to do, especially a man that wants to live a righteous life, that is seeking after God. I would think that that is probably the number one thing that a man has to overcome, because, you know, we as men, we are naturally, you know, we desire women. We desire the love and affection, the sex of a woman. And if you are not married, then, you know, that's a harder lifestyle as well. But even if you are married, when you are married, it becomes even harder, because you're in a relationship, you're involved with someone, but the eyes are still, you know, you still have eyes and you can still see, and you can still be attracted to someone physically, even though you're not, you know, you're not supposed to be seeing them this way. It's your natural, you know, it's nature for a man to look at a woman and notice that she's beautiful or she's not beautiful, you know, and make an assessment from that first look. The, you know, that first look of a man looking at a woman, he's looking at her to judge her physique, her body, her face, the look of her eyes, the color of her eyes, the size of her hips, and, you know, if anything physical about a woman, that first look is exactly what he's doing. He's basically checking her out. And we don't do it with always the intentions on trying to have sex, but the carnal mind is so hard to put to the back of your mind, because unless you really never truly, truly get away or get rid of it, you have to put it to the back of your mind. I constantly pray every day. When I go out in public, I have to do certain things to make sure that I'm doing the right things, because I don't ever want to go back into that situation.
Thank you so much. I mean, like I said, this is Katrina Kirkendall, and you're tuned in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. It is always a privilege and a pleasure. We have Thomas Wade here tonight, and we're talking about why men cheat. Please know this is coming from his perspective. We're not saying this is etched in stone, because everybody's situation is different. So, but we are talking about some of the points he's hitting. I'm sorry, men. He hit the nail on the head for me. You know, he really did hit the nail on the head for me. And thank you. I appreciate that blessing, Kurt Raleigh. What I'm saying, you know, all I'm saying is it is flesh, you know. And I have a man right here now saying that you're speaking facts. So apparently you hit the nail on the head, just like I said. And I just have to say, you know, as women, we don't make it easy for men, because it's a weakness, you know. It's like your Achilles heel. And as women, some women, we know that. You know, we know that. And I just want to commend you, because with all that went on, now we want to talk about, you know, the nuggets of wisdom. You know, you got to that point where you're like, okay, I lost everything. I lost my family. I lost my children. I lost my wife. My family, they don't want to deal with me, you know, because in public, we got your back. In private, we're going to tell you about yourself, period, you know. And, you know, you're at that point now where they're getting in you like, hey, I know you know better than this. I know you know better than this. You know, now you're at that point where you got to face reality. You're the man in the mirror. You know things are going to happen, and you said it best. You called on him, because the first thing you got to do is stretch your hands out and say, Lord, I surrender all to you. And that's what you did. You surrendered it all to him. So now we're dealing with the healing process. How, you know, what was the process when you got to that point? Because you said you came up with the suggestion and nuggets of wisdom. So now we're there. What was those realities that you came with, and how you move forward?
Well, as you stated earlier, the first thing I did was I had to lay myself before the altar. I had to lay myself before God. You know, I had to really, really confess my sins, my real sins, not just the overall. I had to confess my sins, everything that I was doing wrong, all the little situations I was putting myself in. I had to confess them to God. The only way to get forgiveness for your sins is to confess them. So that was the first thing I had to do. But the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So I had to start doing some work. And there were some things that I had to do. Number one, stop making eye contact with women in public, anywhere. Just stop making eye contact with women. If I knew you, I would speak, and I would put my head to the ground and just keep on walking. Number two, I stopped going online and looking at things that I had no business looking at. Porn sites, dating apps, and things of that nature. I had to pretty much get a whole new phone. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes you got to throw away the old and start new. I had to then, once God started turning things around for me, once he allowed my wife to come back into my life, it wasn't instant and it wasn't just rekindling. I had to reconnect with her on a friendship level because I had completely destroyed the trust bond between me and my wife. So before we could even become husband and wife again, we had to go back to being friends. We had to start there. I had to run away from women with bad intentions. Just because you're trying to turn a new leaf doesn't mean those old leaves won't try to follow you. So I had to completely run away, cut off all communications from anyone or anybody that had those intentions. And not just bad women, bad men too, because, you know, your friends can put you in situations you ain't got no business being in. Those homies, those best friends, those cousins, they can put you in situations that you have no business being in. I had to start praying more. And I had to start seeking advice from other married men. My brother, Rodney Gilchrist, is my biggest mentor and my number one go-to person. When I'm in a situation and I don't know who to call on and I pray about it and I still don't feel like I've gotten what I need to hear, you know, we sometimes need a shoulder to lean on. So I reach out to my brother because he's a married man and, you know, nobody's perfect. But he gives me nuggets of wisdom. He gives me the right advice. You know, even if I've done something wrong, you know, he'll let me know, hey, this is not right. And then he'll correct me on it. And I'm almost 40 years old, but he'll correct me like I'm 16. And he'll pray with me and he'll give me the right advice. You know, you need people in your corner that are going to give you the right advice. They're going to tell you when you're wrong. They're not going to give you props for doing the wrong thing. You need people that are going to stop you in your tracks and say, hey, man, this ain't right. So I started, you know, I had to start praying more and getting advice from other married men. And I had to start seeing, last but not least, I had to start seeing the value in Thomas Wade and not in my sexual body parts. I had to, you know, realize, I had to come to a realization that I'm not just part of me. I'm a whole person. I'm a mind. I'm a body. I'm a spirit. I'm a soul. I'm arms, legs. I'm everything. I'm not just that part. There's so much more to me than just that. And I had to really, really search my own soul and start to see the inner me, start to see that there's more to life than just this. There's more to life than just going out here trying to fulfill my own sexual desires or I call them demons, honestly, because, you know, those things they're just not good for you. So I had to start seeing my own self. And last but not least, I had to remember the most important fact about marriage, that you are two becoming one. So when you when you're your spouse, when you're out here thinking you're doing all this and you're the man and you're getting these numbers and you're doing all the things that you think make you cool or hot to a woman, remember, you're not only hurting your wife, you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of comments on here. You know, Mr. Monte is saying that, you know, you're speaking facts. You know, he's always struggled with putting it into words, but you couldn't have said it better yourself. He's giving you props on that. And one of the things I want to, Elder Daggett, said, Mr. Wade, I understand totally from a woman's perspective who has been down this road before, and she said, God bless you. She's saying that demons and spirits are real, and they really are. They really, really, really are. And it was something, one of the questions I wanted to ask, and this was coming from a comment from Mr. Monty, is when you started doing all that, and even now, do you find that the attack becomes heavier towards you now that you know he don't have you no more? I'm referring to Satan. He don't have you no more, okay? Because they don't bother you when they got you. They bother you when they don't have you. So now you done broke away. So do you find that your attacks are heavier or were heavier, and are they as heavy now?
The attacks
have
never stopped.
Do you understand that question?
Yeah, I definitely understand that question. The attacks never stop, and I don't think they will stop until the day a man dies. To be honest with you, I believe that, you know, once you start to walk on the path of righteousness, then the attacks, in my life personally, I feel like this, in my life personally, the attacks never stop. But you have to find a way to overcome. You got to find a way to just overlook these attacks, or you got to keep your focus. You know, when I get into those situations where I know that, I'll give you an example. Say you're in the grocery store, and it could just be you, because sometimes I go to the grocery store by myself, and you could be picking out your items and things like that, and someone might walk up to you and start a conversation. A young lady might start a conversation with you. The best thing to do, what I would do, is, hey, how you doing? And I would keep going. There's no need for us to be interacting. There's no need for us to have a drawn-out conversation, because if you cut it off right, if you cut that snake off at the head, he can't keep coming at you. So you got to – that's why I say you got to run away. You got to run away from people. You got to not make eye contact with women, especially if you are a man who's either already been in trouble or a man who's trying to avoid trouble. You know, you don't have to interact with women. You know, if you're married, you just need to interact with your spouse. You know, and when you go to work, you know, a lot of us men, we got to deal with women at work. Keep it very, very, very professional. You know, I'm from the South, and I live up north now. A lot of women don't like to be called ma'am up here or Mrs. Or, you know, I call them that to show respect. And it's just a sign of respect in the North, I mean, in the South. But up here, they don't like it. But if I put you at a level where I'm showing you respect and I'm keeping it respectful, then this conversation cannot go into a different level. And I won't allow it. I just, you know, you as a man, you have to be powerful enough as a man to take control of the situation. And if you can't take control of the situation, remove yourself from the situation.
I like that. If you can't, you got to take control of the situation. If you can't take control, you need to remove yourself from the situation. I like that. We can learn from that. That's a gem right there. Yes. Yes. I want to ask you a question. What would you say was your biggest lesson from this situation that you come through? Because God, you know, God allows quite a few things, especially when we're hard-headed. What would you say would be your lessons you've learned? Do you understand my question? Or is it redundant?
Yes.
you know, what would be some of the lessons that you've learned?
I would say that the biggest lesson that I've learned over this whole entire situation would be, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we supposed to love our wives as God loved the church. Jesus never cheated on the church. Jesus didn't hurt the church. Jesus loved the church. You know, he gave his life for the church. And when I was out here doing the things that I was doing, I wasn't giving my life to my wife. And I had to, the biggest lesson that I learned in all of this is she is my life. She is my everything. Cannot, and I never will again, put my life, i.e. me and her becoming one, put my life in jeopardy ever again. So that was the biggest thing that I learned. Don't put your life, because when two becomes one, that is now your life. Everything that is her is you. Never put my life in jeopardy again. That is powerful.
Now you have these, you know, I'm not gonna say young men. Now you say you make it seem like 40 is old, brother. 40 is not old. You just beginning your life. Well, I'm 51. No, honey. You're in that age now where common sense starts kicking in, and we're like, okay, we need to get ourselves together. And that's what it sounds
absolutely
like. And you're no different than anybody else in the age of 40. And I have quite a few of my classmates listening in right now. You know, we all go through that young, dumb, and full of cum stages. Then we get older, and then we start doing, you know, like, you know, the numbers game, as you say, and then we get older, and then we're like this, wait a minute now. This is getting a little too much for me. and start getting a little too
absolutely
much. Start thinking about some things that, you know, yeah, some people, they just out there. They just swear that the grass is greener on the other side, and I'm here to tell you, yes, it is greener on the other side, but it's made out of astroturf. That's all I'm trying to say. And you're going to learn, you know, after it's all said and done, that it just wasn't worth it in the end. And fortunately for Mr. Wade, and I'm so happy to hear this, he was able, it's almost like the book of Job, when Job lost everything. I'm actually reading that book right now. He lost everything, but then he never, never, never cursed God. And as a result, he got more than what he lost. And listening to you, you know, where you were, what you went through, and where you are now, God gave you another chance, honey. And most men or women can't say that. So I commend your wife, because she was going through some stuff. I'm sure she was going through some stuff as well. Because while you were there laying at the altar, putting it at the throne of God's feet, he was working on her as well. He was working on her. And what better way to start is by creating the foundation again? Because I'll ask you this, being married. Would you say friendship is the foundation to any type of relationship moving forward? Would you say it start with friendship?
Absolutely. That is exactly how I met my wife, actually. We started off as friends. Just, you know, I had just moved to Texas, and we were friends. We began a friendship. She would come by and see me. I would sometimes make breakfast for her. She was still in the military, and she would be coming home from PT, and she would come and see me, and I would make a little something to eat for her, and we would sit, we would talk, and, you know, that's what really sparked our relationship, was our friendship. She was my best friend. I told her everything about me, you know, and she told me everything about her, and that's what drew me to her.
At what point did you know she was the one?
Honestly, I knew she was the one the first day that I met her, honestly. The first time we actually had a conversation, I had met her. Well, I saw her in church. I saw her in church a couple of times, and I wasn't a regular churchgoer, but she was. And I knew when I looked at her, I was like, she is beautiful, but I don't want no church girl. I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, I'm not dating no church woman. But when I'll never forget it. I was staying with my sister because I had just moved to Texas, and she came over to get her hair braided. And it was the first time we had any interaction with each other. And it was New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve, and she was getting ready to go to church. And she looked at me, and she said, she introduced herself, and I introduced myself, and she asked me, are you going to church tonight? And if you are, would you like to come with me? And I said, no, I'm not going to church tonight. I'm about to go to the club. Do you want to come with me? And that was our first actual conversation. And she went on to church, and I went on to the club. But a couple of days later, we actually did exchange phone numbers, and we began to, talk. And that was when I knew right then, when I saw her, honestly, I knew it was her smile. It was, you know, the way she looked at me, the way I looked at her. I just knew that this woman was, she was the one for me when I first saw her.
Yeah, Kiana is beautiful. She is definitely beautiful.
Absolutely.
Inside and out. Inside yes. and out. And your sister's beautiful too. I love her too. I would say, you know, what advice would you give to the men that are still out there, the men who are going through, the men, like, what would be your final thought to say to them?
My final thought to say to any man that is in the situation or out here cheating, first and foremost, I would have to ask them a question. Do you want to stop? Because if you do want to stop, thing you need to do is look at yourself in the mirror. Because it's all about you as a man. Do you want to stop? If the answer is yes, go look at yourself in the mirror. And can you respect the person that you are seeing? Do you respect the person in the mirror? If you don't, then you got to make some changes. Yes, you got to pray. Yes, you got to call on God and ask God to help you, but then you got to get busy. So if you really, really, really want to stop, get around men other men who can talk to you, who can mentor you. Get away from people who don't mean you no good. And surround yourself with love and positivity. But the main thing is look yourself in the mirror and see if you can't respect the man that you're looking at when you're looking at yourself in the mirror because of the things that you're doing to hurt the people around you, make a change.
That is deep. Well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on board and just drop in those nuggets of wisdom, because my brother, you came with truth, and I appreciated that, you know, because there's men out there and women out there, you know, we're all going through because we are flesh, you know, and we have to keep that, we have to keep it under submission, because the struggle is not just with men, it's with women as well, and so, you know, I'm going to be getting a woman on here as well, so we can chop it up as well. But I thank you for sharing those nuggets of wisdom with us tonight. I am telling you, people have been being healed. People are being delivered from this because this is awesome stuff. You know, like I said, this is coming from one person's perspective, but I'll be honest with you, based on the stuff that he's brought down and some of the comments I see, he hit the nail on the head. I mean, these are like some foundational stuff that, yeah, as men and women, I'm not going to say just men, but, you know, men and women, we go through. My name is Christina Kirkendall. I thank you for tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. Oh, this month is about the men. I love you, but God loves you more. Good night. Okay, Mr. Wade, hold on. I'm going to disconnect this, and then I'm going to call you right back, okay, because I got to disconnect the show.
Okay.